Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and it is great to be with you this Sunday, October 27th. It is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. We are moving very rapidly toward our All Saints celebration and the time of Advent, and it is fast approaching. And I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. Let us come together now as we prepare our hearts for a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Psalm 126 speaks of the Lord restoring fortunes for those who were faithful, just like Bartimaeus that we will read about shortly. Hear now the words of the psalmist. The Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dream. When our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy, then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seeds for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us join now together in those words of our affirmation of faith. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together today for worship, we know we can be blind to so many things in our lives. Help restore our sight to those around us in need. Help us find missional ways to be of service to others, to serve and not be served, just like the example of Christ, your Son, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In 1932, Helen Keller was asked to come see the view from the newly erected Empire State Building. When she wrote a letter to Dr. John Finley, president of the New York Association for the Blind, about her experience. The following are excerpts from the letter about how and what she saw. January 13th, 1932. Dear Dr. Finley, as I now recall the view I had from the Empire Tower, I am convinced that until we have looked into darkness, we cannot know what a divine thing vision is. I was pleasantly surprised to find the Empire Building so poetical. From everyone except my blind friend, I had received an impression of sordid materialism. The piling up of one steel honeycomb upon another with no real purpose, but to satisfy the American craving for the superlative in everything. A Frenchman has said in his exalted moments in the American builder fancies himself a demigod, nay, a god, for only gods never tire of the prodigious. The highest, the largest, the most costly is the breath of his vanity. Well, I see in the Empire State Building something else. Passionate skill, arduous and fearless idealism. The tallest building is a victory of imagination. Instead of crouching close to the earth like a beast, the spirit of man soars to higher regions. And from this new point of vantage, he looks up upon the impossible with fortified courage and dreams yet more magnificent enterprises. What did I see and hear from the Empire Tower? As I stood there twixt earth and sky, I saw a romantic structure wrought by human brains and hands that is to the burning eye of the sun a rival luminary. I saw it stand erect and serene in the midst of storm and the tumult of elemental commotion. I heard the hammer of Thor ring when the shaft began to rise upward. I saw the unconquerable steel, the flash of testing flames, the sword-like rivets. I heard the stream drills in pandemonium. I saw the countless skilled workers welding together that mighty symmetry. I looked upon the marvel of frail, yet indomitable hands that lifted the tower to its dominating height. Sincerely yours, Helen Keller. Would you now join me in the reading of our gospel lesson today? We are remaining in the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Hear now the story of Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Open my eyes so that I may see all the lessons, all the words, all the inspiration that you have for all that hear your message today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was scrolling through social media the other night and I came across a video of a man who was colorblind. He was about my age and he had never seen color, which is just about the saddest thing I had ever heard. Imagine going through life without seeing the beauty of God's creation in its fullest glory. Having never seen color, he was literally jumping for joy as he watched The Wizard of Oz with his new color-correcting glasses on. You know the scene, the one at the end of the movie when the hero Dorothy is being paraded through Oz. The horse pulling her carriage is changing colors, and the man that was once colorblind could now see the movie in all of its beauty. He kept saying, "The horse is changing color." I never knew that. And with every color change, he had to ask his wife what color he was seeing for the first time. It melted this steel magnolia's heart. He was blind to color, and now he can see. There are two kinds of healings in the New Testament. Those who are healed from illnesses like fevers and things that we still see as illness. But then there are healings from things that are no longer what we consider illness. Blindness, deafness, physical differences, or what they call lame, are not how we see illness anymore. They're not things that necessarily need to be healed. The lack of medical understanding can sometimes be harmfully translated to those with disabilities today. I think about my blind uncles a lot when I read these verses. There was nothing at all wrong with my uncles being blind. They may have wanted to see if given the opportunity, but blindness was not the same then as it is now. People thought that those kind of ailments were happening because of sin, simply because they had no other way to interpret physical conditions. Today, we see blindness very differently. We see physical blindness is not something that is caused by sin, but by some kind of physical issue. We see blindness as a part of who someone is, not a thing to be ashamed of. It's easy to look at scriptures like the one we see in our lesson today and think that Jesus is here healing the blind Bartimaeus because blindness is only the thing that needs to be healed. But as we look closely at today's scripture, we see that that is not the case at all. In ancient times, there was no Judean Academy of the Blind where people like Bartimaeus could go to study and learn a trade. There was no Braille. There was no way for him to be able to read scriptures from the scrolls or even learn to read. There was very little that people like Bartimaeus could do for work if they did not have a family to help support them. So when we find Bartimaeus asking for healing, we see him as a beggar. There are several things that stand out to me in this scripture. When we first see Bartimaeus in this passage, we see him seated at the roadside on the way out of town, covered in a cloak. When the crowds come from a seated position, he hears that it's Jesus. When people lose one of their senses, it's easy for them to pay attention to the others. And from a seated position at the side of the road, he can hear that the person the crowd is following is the one who has been healing people. When he calls to Jesus, the scripture says he was shouting Jesus' name. And the reaction of the crowd makes me think of how I myself have acted when I see a homeless person shouting on the side of the road. It makes them so uncomfortable that they try to quiet him. Can you feel their embarrassment at the sight of one of their townspeople shouting at Jesus? But he's not deterred. He knows that he needs Jesus and he keeps calling out for him until he hears a response. But it is verse 51 that really gets my attention. After he throws off his cloak and jumps up for joy to meet the one that he knows can heal him, Jesus just has one question for him. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. I'm sure everyone in the crowd was shocked. I myself usually breeze right past this past very important idea in the passage. Jesus does not assume that Bartimaeus' blindness is what he needs to be healed from. What do you want me to do for you? That does not in any way indicate that Jesus has jumped to the conclusion, like the rest of the crowd, that the man's blindness was an illness that needed to be healed. It is only when he responds with, "My teacher, let me see again," does Jesus heal what he asked for. We can all be blind in our own ways. We can be blind to the needs of those around us as we pass by those in need instead of helping them. We can be blind to the light and hope of the world when we feel like we're living in darkness. We can be blind to our own shortcomings as we look more at the faults of others. We all need to be healed from those types of blindness. But I think there's even a deeper lesson than that. And I think the lesson comes from the example of Helen Keller. Sometimes it is our sight that can cause us to be blind as well. Everyone else uses their eyes to see the Empire State Building, or as she calls it, the Empire Tower. They saw it as the pile of one steel honeycomb upon another, with no real purpose but to satisfy the American craving for the superlative in everything. Helen could see it differently because she couldn't see it at all. As I stood there twixt earth and sky, I saw a romantic structure wrought by human brains and hands. And that is to the burning eye of the sun, a rival luminary. Because she was not hindered by only seeing what was in front of her, she could imagine the humanness of the workers and engineers and builders that dared to dream the beautiful wonder of the building. I think that by asking the blind man what he needed to be healed from, Jesus was doing just that. He was not letting the physical being of what was standing in front of him keep him from really seeing the soul, the beauty of Bartimaeus. He saw the luminary heart of the person that everyone else only saw as a blind beggar shouting at the crowd. Jesus modeled that behavior for the crowd that day. He shows us how we need to really see other people and seek their love and guidance on how they need help. What darkness are they residing in? Where can we show them the light? Thank goodness he does the same for us as well. He looks past the obvious things that we as humans see as shortcomings or illnesses or hindrances and asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" Even if we are not actually blind, our answer can be exactly the same. "My teacher, let me see again." We may live in a world that seems devoid of color because of anxiety and depression. It may seem gray all the time. Letting you see again may mean that you start to see the joy and the color in the world, like the color of the blind man watching the horses and the Wizard of Oz change color. Being able to see again may allow you to jump for joy again. Being able to see again may allow you to see the beauty in yourself that you may not have seen for a long time. We may live in a world of total darkness like my blind uncle Milton, who never, ever let his blindness stop him from much. Being able to actually see may have taken all the fun out of driving his nephews and nieces around the farm on the handlebars of his bike, or the challenge of driving cars up on a lift so he could change the oil on a machine that he was not legally able to drive. Being able to see again, I'm sure, meant something completely different for him. There's a quote at the end of the Helen Keller letter that I think is the perfect summation of this biblical text. She's writing this letter after she is home and reflecting on her journey. She is the blind, leading the blind through her experience, and yet she could not see it more clearly. She says this: "As I now recall the view I had from the Empire Tower, I am convinced that until we have looked into darkness, we cannot know what a divine thing vision is." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. It was the extraordinary experience of the blind beggar Bartimaeus all those centuries ago. Let it also be the same for us, so we can follow him on the way. Amen. As we go out into the world, let us keep our eyes open this week and reflect on the vision that God gives us for his kingdom, for the needs of his people, and for the beauty that he sees in us. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.